The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Praise you, Lord. Welcome, everyone, to our Bethel streaming service this morning. We trust that you enjoyed our worship, but not only enjoyed, I hope that you entered into to worship, entered into the presence of God, because that's our desire. We're here because we want to connect people to God. We want to connect you to our Lord, our Father, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, we have a few things going on. I would like to thank everyone for being so faithful in their giving through this difficult time. And we're praying that this is going to be over very soon, and we're all going to get back to our regular lifestyle. But right now, we're doing the best we can do to keep people connected. And those of you who continue to give, I appreciate that. If you'd like more information about giving here at Bethel, you can go to our website, and we have opportunities for you to give there and alternatives to be able to give at this time. This morning, we have a few things going on. We do have a couple testimonies, which I'm really excited about. We have a couple young men that I'm very pleased with and proud of. Garrett Berenger is going to be sharing a testimony, and Devin Maxey is going to share a testimony with us. And then Tammy's going to share a few announcements with us this morning. So if you just bear with us, we'll move on with this service. And just remember, Jesus Christ truly is Lord and Savior. Amen. I hope you enjoyed those testimonies. They were awesome. I'd like to mention that if you have prayer requests, please contact us. We would love to be able to pray for you. We do have a prayer page where we have prayer warriors who are praying regularly for people who have prayer requests. We normally, in our service, we have a regular prayer time where we pray for one another's needs. Unable to do that at this time, but we can virtually touch one another at this time. And we're just going to pray for whatever your need might be. If you want to, would like to extend your hand toward your device, and we would just pray for whatever your need is, knowing that the Holy Spirit knows exactly what is taking place in your life. Father God, we lift up the people who have need of physical healing this morning. We just believe that you are a healing God and that you touch people in the name of Jesus Christ and because of his awesome power, because he took stripes upon his back for our healing, that we might be healed, that we are healed. Father God, I thank you for the ability to be able to pray for all these needs, whatever the need might be. Father God, if people are having financial needs right now, we lift them up in Jesus' name, knowing that you are our provider. Relational issues, Lord, we just thank you that you hear people's desire for family to draw close and come back together, that the relations that have been severed for whatever reason, Father God, you hear those cries and you are touching and ministering and calling people back together in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever the need might be this morning, Father, we thank you that you hear and you respond to your people's prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. This morning I want to share a message that called Nothing But the Blood. When I was growing up, a kid, we sang a lot of hymns in the church, and one of those hymns was Nothing But the Blood. There was a lot of hymns that spoke about the dozens and dozens of hymns that people sang that spoke about the blood. Just to name a few, Victory in Jesus, There's Power in the blood that stained the old rugged cross, Oh, the Blood of Jesus. Those are just a few that I remember, but there were many, many more. And it seemed in those days we talked more about the blood of Jesus and the power that is in the blood of Jesus. I think the church today, we try our best to make people comfortable And sometimes in our attempt to make people comfortable, we don't like to talk about things like blood that's messy. But the reality is, blood is what our faith is all about, the blood of Jesus. He shed it for us. He died on the cross and shed his blood. So we around here, we do talk about the blood, and we do talk about things that are necessary for people to get their life in order with Almighty God, and that is we are sinners, and we need to be saved by the grace of God. And there's certain things in our lives that have to be changed. We can no longer continue living our lives the way we used to when we confess Jesus Christ as our Savior. There is such a thing as sin, but sin has been defeated, as death and hell has been defeated, by the blood of Jesus. I read a little story this week about a farmer, Joe. He was traveling down the road, and he had an accident. A truck hit him broadside, and he decided that his injuries were severe enough that he needed to sue the trucking company. Well, went to court, and he was on the stand, and the attorney for the trucking company asked Farmer Jones, Joe Jones, one question. He said, "Farmer Jones, I understand that at the scene of the accident, you said that you told everybody that you were fine." And the farmer hesitated for a minute. He said, "Well, I loaded old Betsy in the truck and we were headed down the road." And the attorney said, "Listen, I ask you a direct question. I need you to answer. Yes or no. Did you or did you not say you were fine?" "Well, I loaded old Betsy in the truck and started down the road." "No, I ask you a direct question. Please answer my question. Did you or did you not say you were fine at the scene of the accident, right after the accident?" "Well, I loaded old Betsy..." At this point, the attorney was exasperated with the old farmer, and he turned to the judge and he said, "Judge, will you please tell this witness to answer my question?" Well, by this time, the judge was intrigued. He wanted to know what the old farmer had to say. So he said, "Continue, Mr. Jones." So Mr. Jones told his story. He said, "I loaded old Betsy in the truck, and we headed down the road. I came to an intersection. I stopped and looked and pulled out. And as I was driving across out of nowhere, came a truck, hit me broadside. Old Betsy was thrown over into the ditch on one side, and I was thrown in the ditch on the other side. We were both laying there, and I heard old Betsy moaning and groaning. And along came a police officer, and he pulled up beside old Betsy. He got out of his car, went over to old Betsy, took out his revolver, and shot her right between the eyes. He walked across the road where I was, gun in hand, his revolver in his hand. He walked over to me and he said, 'Sir, I'm sorry, but your mule was in such bad shape that I had to shoot her. Now, tell me, how are you?' That's when I said, 'I'm fine.'" Now, sometimes we say things that we don't really mean. And sometimes we think we're fine when we're really not. And I want you to understand something. Without the blood of Jesus, you're not fine. One day you're going to stand before the living God. And he's going to judge you, not based on your efforts, not based on your works. He's going to judge you for eternity based on whether you have the blood of Jesus covering or taking away your sins. Listen to what this old hymn says. "Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." You know, I mentioned that we sometimes are not talking about the blood of Jesus, but I must say that I've heard recently some of the contemporary gospel singers pulling out some of the old hymns. They're doing them more in a contemporary way, but they're singing about the blood of Jesus. And this is one of the songs that I've heard them sing. And I think it's very, very powerful. So this morning, I want to talk about three things, three quick points that I want to go over with you this morning. First of all, the first point is life is in the blood. In Genesis 9:4, it says, "But you shall eat flesh with its life. You shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood." So life, according to the scripture, is in the blood. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 13 says this, "Whatever man of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you, who hunts and catches any animal or bird that may be eaten, he shall pour out his blood and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off." Oh, God is telling the people in the Old Testament not to partake of eating blood, but he wants them to know the reason, and that is that life is in the blood. There's life there. Science tells us that life is truly in the blood. According to the Red Cross, the average person has about 9 to 12 pints of blood in their body, depending on the size of their body. And if you lose blood, the maximum amount of blood loss that you could lose would be about 33% or one-third of your blood. If you lose 40% of your blood, you are going to perish. Now, we know that that is true. And we also, here at Bethel, we went through ALICE training in case there was an active shooter that would possibly come in. We're just trying to be prepared. And one of the things that we were told during our ALICE training was that most people who get shot in when there's an active shooter, no matter where it is, church, mall, in a business, no matter where, most of the people who are shot do not die from the direct gunshot wound. They die from bleeding out because life is in the blood. And the scripture is very clear. Life is in the blood. And that's why the blood of Jesus is so precious. The next thing I want to share with you is blood has a voice. In Genesis 4:10, Cain slew Abel, and God's speaking to Cain. And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." The voice of his blood was crying out. God hears the voice of blood. When innocent people are murdered, that voice cries out to the living God. The blood does. In Deuteronomy 19:10, it says this, "Lest innocent blood," and we're talking about innocent people being murdered, "innocent blood be shed in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and thus guilt of bloodshed shall be upon you. But if anyone hates his neighbor, lies in wait for him, rises against him, strikes him mortally so that he dies, and he flees to one of these cities," he's talking about a sanctuary city that was set up, "then the elders of this city shall send and bring from there and deliver him over to the hand of the avenger of blood that he may die. Your eye shall not pity him, but you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel that it may go well with you." This is a situation where God enacted capital punishment for people who murdered somebody, an innocent person that was murdered. The person, what the system that they had set up in the Old Testament, there were sanctuary cities for people to flee to if there was a murder committed, and then it gave them time to have a trial. Most of the time, people that would flee to these cities went there because they had accidentally done something that caused a death to someone. And then later they could be found out to be innocent of innocent blood. But this is giving us a picture of the reality of God requiring a life for innocent blood that is shed. God will judge those who shed innocent blood. And there's lots of innocent blood being shed in our land, in our world today, all over the world. When there's war, there's many people, innocent people, who die because of warfare, because of the greed of nations, or whatever the situation is. And that blood is crying out to God. Do you know there's over 6,000 murders in the United States each year? That's 44 people who are murdered each day in the United States. The innocent blood of those people are crying out. They're crying out for judgment, for vengeance. God hears those cries. Psalms 106, verse 37, talks about sacrificing. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed their children to idols. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters whom they sacrificed to idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Our land is polluted with blood. We're sacrificing our children to the demons of sex and pleasure and self-will and self-desire. January 10th, 2020, according to the National Right to Life, over 61 million abortions have taken place since 1973, Roe versus Wade, here in the United States. Worldwide is many, many more than that. Listen, that calls the judgment of God. He hears those voices, the voice of their blood crying out. But there is hope. Hebrews 12:24 says this: to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood and all the innocent who have lost their life, their blood is crying out to God. They're crying out for vengeance. And because God is a just God, He must enact justice. But here's the hope that we have. Abel's blood and all the innocents' blood cry out for vengeance. The blood of Jesus cries out for forgiveness. Thank God we have the blood of Jesus. That brings me to my final point. The blood of Jesus cleanses all unrighteousness, all sin. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is that the blood that makes atonement for the soul." Leviticus 23:27 says this: "Also, the tenth day of this seventh month shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." Okay, two things happening here. The blood makes atonement. And atonement, the Hebrew word here that is rendered atonement means to cover, to purge, to make atonement, to make real reconciliation. So this atonement that we're talking about is the blood of animals covered the sins of the people. Now, there was a great day of atonement that I just read to you briefly in Leviticus 23:27. I'm not going to go into all the details of the things that happened on that day, but it was on the ninth. It started the ninth day, the evening of the ninth day of their seventh month, and went through the tenth day to the evening. It was a great day of atonement. It was a day of fasting and mourning for the people. They were to fast all that time. During that period of time, the priest would take a bull, a young bull, a perfect bull, and he would sacrifice that young bull for his sins. And then he would choose two goats. One, or both of them were perfect. They were to be without spot or blemish. And he would cast lots and choose one of those goats to be sacrificed for the altar and for the people. And that goat was sacrificed. The second goat was called the scapegoat. And the scapegoat, the high priest would lay his hands on the scapegoat and transfer the sins of the people onto that scapegoat. And then a man was chosen to take that scapegoat into the wilderness, where that scapegoat was to go out and die for the sins of the people. and their sins were covered because of it. In later times, during the times of Jesus, most historians say that they actually made sure that that goat died. They would push it off a cliff someplace to make sure that it perished, because it perished with the sins of the people. Atonement was made for the sins of the people in those days. That they did not wash, the blood of animals did not wash away their sin. The blood of animals covered their sins for another year. And each year they had to have their sins covered. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says this: "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission." I want you to see that from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the terminology changes. In the Old Testament, it was atonement, the Hebrew word we render atonement. In the New Testament, the Greek word, aphesis, it means a release from bondage, and we've rendered it remission or imprisonment. It means cleared of all charges, no longer found guilty, a cleansing of all charges. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us of all sins." Isn't that awesome? Isn't it wonderful to know that we don't have to rely on the blood just covering our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ sets us free from our sins. We are no longer found guilty. Let me give you a few more scriptures here that I think are very essential. 1 John 2:1, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate, we have an attorney that stands before the living God, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." He is there pleading before the Father. When we, as his believers, yes, we're going to do wrong, yes, we're going to sin, but those sins are wiped away, and Jesus is standing before the Father, and he's saying, "That's one of mine. That one's cleansed by my blood." John, 1 John 2:2, "And he said, and he himself is the propitiation of our sins, the substitute, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Jesus came that anyone who would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Matthew 26:28, "For this is my blood of the new covenant." Remember, we're talking about the new covenant in the blood of Jesus, which is shed for many, for the remission, once again, the washing away of sin. Acts 10:43, "To him all the prophets witness that though through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin." It's for all of us. Everyone who will believe, everyone who will accept, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Nothing but the blood. Once there was a church, a young lady was saved in it, and she had a pretty dark past. She was involved with drugs and alcohol, and she was a prostitute. But she came to Jesus, and it was obvious that she had a real experience with Jesus, because her whole life changed. She no longer lived that kind of lifestyle, and she began to serve the Lord with all her heart. She was a beautiful young lady, and she caught the eye of the pastor's son, who was a young man, and not long they started dating, and before long, they were talking about marriage, and they were engaged. But when they started talking about marriage, some of the people of the church got upset. They said that she wasn't good enough for the pastor's son. Because of her past, she shouldn't marry the pastor's son. So they had a meeting and everybody came together. And there was things said about this young lady that was very disturbing. Some of them were very true about her past. Some of them were untrue. But regardless, they said some really nasty things. And finally, the young man couldn't take it any longer. And he began to speak. He stood up and he said, "My fiance's past is not what is on trial here. What you're questioning is the ability of the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away sin. Today, you've put the blood of Jesus on trial. It either washes away sin or it does not. If her sins are not washed away, neither are yours." The whole church broke down and began to realize they were questioning the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to know this morning, I don't care what you've done in your past. It makes no difference. The blood of Jesus can wash it all away. Today, if you've not received Christ as your personal Savior, once again, I'm going to give you that opportunity. We're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to pray with me as I pray. Please bow your head. Heavenly Father, today, I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved by your blood. I need to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood for the remission of my sins and he came back to life on the third day. I believe he's my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, praise God, the angels are rejoicing in heaven right now because you have entered the kingdom of God. Praise God. Thank you for coming into the kingdom this morning. And thank you for tuning into our message this morning and our service. Praise God, we are praying that good things will happen and that God will move in a mighty way in your life. Let us know if you've prayed that prayer with me this morning, for we want to help you grow in the Lord. God bless and have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.